Let us pray. May your word be a lantern to our feet and a light upon our path. Amen.
Amen.
It all began by seeing an old photograph in my baby album. There I was, adorable, of course, 5 months old, being held up in the arms of my dad. And he had this huge grin on his face, and he was looking at me with such joy. He had obviously just come home from a long day's work. He still had his shirt and his tie on. So I'm kind of layering some meaning in there, but that's what I think was going on. This photo is well over 60 decades old, and it is not in good shape. In the first place, it was overexposed, and all the light coming into the photo makes everything look fuzzy. But it was clearly an important photo because it was put in my baby book. And it was put there by the photographer who was, guess who? My mother. As I looked at this particular photo, which I hadn't really paid any attention to for a very long time, I felt something shift inside of me. I felt a shift in my understanding of my relationship with my father, and it kind of altered my whole story. Have you ever had anything like that happen to you? Some small detail that you're unaware of suddenly is brought into the light. It felt like a distant star finally reaching me. This morning in our Old Testament reading, we hear a snapshot, a snippet of the story of two brothers, Esau and Jacob. Twins born to Rebekah and Isaac, our ancestors in the faith. A snapshot, in a sense, in the album of the Bible, if you'll work with me. And we hear from the very beginning that somehow or other there's trouble brewing. Rebekah somehow knows there's twins inside of her. She had probably a very good midwife on her crew. Anyway, she perceives that they're struggling within her womb, and bless her heart, she actually takes the bull by the horns and goes, and I don't know where she goes, maybe a really favorite tree or something, and she says, God, what's going on in my womb? Maybe I should just die now. Now, this is a bold heroine of our faith. And guess what? God answers her. This is very unusual in our patriarchal biblical history, but it did happen. But what God says is kind of troubling. God says, two nations are in your womb, and two peoples born of you shall be divided. The one shall be the stronger over the other. The elder shall serve the younger. So even before these two brothers were born, there was a narrative, a story involving the holy word of God. And for better or worse, this narrative was going to shape their entire life. So in our same reading this morning, we fast forward and we're given another snapshot. We hear that Esau, when he grew up, became a skilled hunter, and his father preferred him because his dad liked to eat fresh game. And then Jacob, we're just told, he's a quiet man living in tents. and he's preferred by his mother. If this was a novel you were reading, do you think trouble is brewing? Yes. Parental favoritism. Brothers at odds with one another. The blessing of God upon them. Continued plot twists, collusion and trickery involving the favored son, Jacob, and his mother, Rebecca. But this is a biblical story, folks. So we don't hear the end of the story, but stay tuned. One of our well-loved Ascensionites is going to be teaching on, I heard a rumor, I can't confirm this exactly, but I heard a rumor that there will be some more teaching on the stories of Genesis in the fall. So stay tuned. All you need to know today is that there is forgiveness, redemption, and continued life. Okay. So how do the stories we tell shape us? How has the story of your own life shaped you? How has the story that we hear each week shaped us? Aren't these good questions? Our family is usually where our life story starts. And sometimes it can shape us for better or for worse. And then as we go out into the world, we encounter so many things outside of our control. School, community, other relatives, things start happening to us. And those as well shape our story. We all have a narrative, and our narrative is shaped by all the things that occur in our life. But clearly, many in our world have an unfair narrative because they experience many unfair advantages. And like in our Old Testament story about Esau and Jacob, some of these narratives are inherited narratives, and they unfold and continue to unfold in negative ways so that the people who have to live with them their entire life have burdens on their back. And this is where I think our wonderful gospel story comes in today. Jesus is speaking to the crowds about kingdom life, a different way. And he tells the story of the sower. When we first hear this parable, it seems pretty straightforward, especially when we get the whole description of the ground and what happens if you're shallow ground and rocky ground and crowded ground. And I have to say, I've often sat in the pew and thought about, okay, well, what kind of ground am I? And am I going to receive the seed, or is it going to shrivel up? In her book, The Seeds of Heaven, Barbara Brown Taylor turns this story around. She says, we hear the story and think it is a story about us. But what if we're wrong? What if it is not a story about us, but a story about the sower? What if it is not about our successes or failures, not about what others tell us, or what we believe about ourselves, whether that is true or false? But what if it is about the extravagance of the sower? What about the extravagant sower who does not seem to be fazed by the kind of ground that the seed is sown on? Who flings seeds everywhere, wastes seeds with holy abandon, feeds the birds, whistles at the rocks, picks his way through thorns, and shouts alleluia at the good soil? and he just keeps on sowing, confident that there is plenty of seed to go around. What if? That sounds like a good narrative to me. Seeds are, each one, filled with potency and potential. And once sown, we don't know what's going to happen. I've seen glorious purple iris growing out of sheer rock face when I've been canoeing in Algonquin Park. And then as a gardener, I could spend a week making the soil just perfect and putting in compost and testing it, and I can put my seeds in, and guess what? So, it's a mystery, my friends. Some seeds thrive and some seeds don't. And these things are not under our control. But life in the kingdom is somewhat under our control because we're invited to participate. One more story. I was recently lent a very wonderful, inspiring book by Gregory Boyle, a Jesuit priest, the founder of Homeboy Industries. It's called Tattoos on the Heart, The Power of Boundless Compassion. Gregory and his large team of helpers have worked in the ghettos of Los Angeles for over 20 years, offering members of gangs a fresh start. Often, the members are people that, as young men, get incarcerated, and then when they are let out of prison, they do not have a clue how to be in the world. And those around them see them in a particular way. They see them and they treat them as unredeemable, expendable, and less than human. They have to make crucial choices with very little or no support, and they also have to remain separate from their old gang. And the old gang would love them to come back and promises them an easy way, but of course it's filled with violence and hatred and further pain. With all of these burdens on their backs, carrying these false narratives that drag them down, how are they to make a different choice? What will help them choose life? Well, Gregory and the people involved in Homeboy Industries have found one way of answering that question. Like the sower, the extravagant sower in the gospel story, they try to see each homie, which is their preferred way of being addressed, by the way, they see each homie as full of potential and promise. They see each person as a gift given by God, as a precious human being created in God's own image, and therefore infinitely worthy of all the goodness that life has to offer each person. And Homeboy Industries goes further. They actually offer practical support, entry-level work, skills training, and mentoring, concrete ways to help each person be able to make a good choice, to have a fresh start, and to have more opportunity to become the glorious person that God has called them to be. And this, my friends, is what you and I are called to do too. Whatever reason, many in our world have unjust circumstances and unfair advantages, and they cannot overcome them on their own. The stories that we listen to and the stories that we tell really do matter. And it is important to listen and pay attention to the kinds of narratives you hear about other people. Where do they come from? Are they true? And is this the narrative of the kingdom and the way? And in fact, just the way we want to live together in our world? And if it isn't, then we have the power to co-create with God and change these narratives. We need each other's help to see each other with fresh eyes, to look at each other with love, compassionate love, forgiving love, and love that is bigger than any of us can imagine. So I'm going to give you an example, but this is a living example right here among us today. One of my neighbors, Claudie, is one of the people I know from my street who tries to be that kind of person, to see each other with an open heart and to include others and to welcome them and make them a part of a wonderful neighborhood. Well, I just happened to be talking to Claudie on the street because she has a young son and she's out there all the time, and you know how neighbors are. We were gabbing away and she asked me what I was doing, and I told her, well, I'm writing this reflection this week. So then she asked me more questions, and lo and behold, we had a great conversation. Now, Claudie is also a great singer and songwriter. So she sang to me a song that she wrote. And I was so inspired that I went home, and the next morning I woke up and I wrote a song. I know, I'm really surprised too. And I just want to let you know that Ode and Gary said it was okay. It was really okay, because you know, you can be very excited, and I wanted the truth. Anyway, Claudie surprised the heck out of me. She received the song yesterday morning, and she wrote the music, and she's here to sing it for you. So.
Thank you, Linda. Thank you for having me here. Wish me luck.
Around us, have a harder time by far.